Sugatsia for my friends at Casper. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation, including the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it again with all new mattresses. Waking up with back pain? Introducing Zone Support, Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. There's something brand new called Airscape, engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. From bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom for every kind of sleeper. I've been sleeping on a Casper mattress for years. I swear by it. Most comfortable mattress I've ever slept on. Anytime they have new innovations, I am in on that. And as always, free shipping and free returns. And now Casper is offering free contactless delivery. And as always, free returns. Go to Casper.com. Use code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. That's code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So, Michael Jordan, blah, 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 blah. Stugatz, Michael Jordan?
Better than I remembered. The best ever. Blah, 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 blah. I want to see the rest of that list. Blah, 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 blah.
Never mind. Let's just do something else. I'm just glad that before it ended, we were able to hear from Joe Mantegna of Godfather 3.
I believe it's Mantegna.
Is it Mantegna?
Yeah.
From Godfather. I'm fine, Stugatz. After you just started, I said three times we were going around the horn on blah, blah, blahs, and you ruined it immediately.
Sorry. I wasn't here for that portion of the pre-show.
You were staring right at us. You were staring right at us.
I asked several times before the show started. Are we all just saying blah, 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 blah? No one gave me a response.
Oh,
nobody.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Just sit the segment out, Stugatz. At Lebatard Show, have you ever had a bad feeling about that pizza at Lebatard Show? Because Tim Grover was playing the Nigerian vegetable vendor. If you're not familiar, Stugatz is the one we call the Nigerian vegetable vendor because a few years ago there was a Nigerian place that was selling human meat, and the guy outside who was a vegetable vendor said he knew something fishy was happening in there, although he didn't reveal to anybody that it was human meat. Now Tim Grover is telling us he knew that there was something, a bad feeling, around that pizza. I also love how they filled in at the very end. I think because that documentary was rushed at the end, because Jason Ayer has told people that he was making it as it was airing, 8, 9, and 10, as it was airing, you finally got to see Michael Jordan's children. That was direct result, I gotta think, of the criticism of where the hell's his family. And what did they say? That Utah's crowd was hostile. That's all they gave you from Michael Jordan's family life. I feel like I know Steve Kerr's family better than Michael Jordan's family. I feel like I know the security guards better than Michael Jordan's, family. They gave you only, the kids of Michael Jordan saying, that the Utah crowd was hostile. What is the matter with Stugatz, Mike? Honestly, like, how many times did I say it before we started?
We talked out what we were going to do. We were going to go around the horn with everyone saying blah, blah, blah. Honestly, it's on you for starting with Stugatz. He would have caught on if he went around the horn with someone other than him. But, I mean, you threw to first base, and it sailed.
At Lebatard Show is how you reach us on the polls. I was really surprised. The most surprising thing of the entire 10-hour documentary for me was that Michael Jordan was jamming, and he took off his headsets, and he said it was Katie Lattimore I did not think that that's what was going to happen there. It's the most stunned that I was. I'm curious whether you think Stan Van Gundy was on with us last week and said Michael Jordan was no greater a competitor than Udonis Haslam or J.J. Redick. That obviously he's more talented than those people, but as a competitor, he didn't want it any more than those people. So I'd want you to put on the poll at Lebatard Show. Is Michael Jordan more of a competitor than Steve Kerr? Yes or no? Just curious how it is that you guys see the ceiling on how much someone wants to win. I think the most surprising thing about the last 2 hours of the Last Dance documentary was the idea in the middle of the 90s, America's most popular team, that Dennis Rodman had an unexcused absence during the finals to go wrestle. Like, that is simply flabbergasting. Like, I know Phil Jackson's going to end up getting credit for letting Dennis Rodman be Dennis Rodman. He certainly squeezed a whole lot out of Dennis Rodman. But the idea that Dennis Rodman disappeared, do you remember that, Mike? Because you still are an enormous wrestling fan. Do you remember? Because I did not remember Dennis Rodman having an unexcused absence during the finals to go partake in the NWO of Hulk Hogan.
I didn't really know that the timelines matched up that way. And I'm watching a lot of these things back, and I had no idea that the NBA Finals was going on there. I knew the Karl Malone aspect of wrestling, but I don't know if you noticed what happened on social media with Karl Malone yesterday. I learned a lot more about Karl Malone than I knew. And is he canceled now? Did we cancel the mailman? Because damn, that's intense.
Which part? Which part do you want to talk about? I mean, Kobe's wife, that situation?
No, I had no idea about the children and who he had them with and the ages of the person he impregnated in one specific example. And then I saw an article, and then I learned more about Roger Clemens as a spinoff. He just got caught up in it. And now is Roger Clemens canceled again? You know, you start poking around on some of these heroes of yesteryear, whether it be David Bowie or Prince, and just if you like them the way that they are, don't go Googling. But, man, I learned a lot about Karl Malone.
How about Jerry Seinfeld? Jerry Seinfeld, there's an entire comedy routine by a comedian whose name I have misplaced, talking about Jerry Seinfeld as a 38-year-old taking his 17-year-old girlfriend to high school.
Ooh.
Dropping her off at classes because the legal age in New York was 17.
Yeah, but 13, though.
Yeah. I saw a good tweet from somebody saying that Michael Jordan's greatest act of social justice was not allowing Karl Malone to win a championship. They don't make players that kind of muscular anymore, do they? They don't make Karl Malone muscular is not something that
he was like meatbone butt cut. But LeBron, like, they just make them now insane ball handlers. So, yeah, they do. They're just running point in the clutch situations now.
Yeah, they look a little more like
LeBron.
Look,
they didn't make
James.
Them like Giannis back then either.
We're going to talk to Bomani Jones, and we're going to talk to Sarah Spain today on the show. We've got Bob Ryan as well. Going to be some basketball intensive. I got to imagine that the highlight of the entire experience for Roy was the Inside Stuff reunion. He seemed very excited about Ahmad Rashad. That was a specifically 90s wonderful television show. I don't feel like anyone got as much run off of The Last Dance other than Michael Jordan, of course, then Ahmad Rashad getting to relive his glory years, not just as a Pro Bowler when he was a football player and a really good announcer, Michael Strahan before Michael Strahan, but as the road dog and best friend of Michael Jordan. Roy, did you see any of the Inside Stuff reunion? Did you guys watch any of the Inside Stuff reunion? If you're not ready to let this go, we have on Tuesday, Stephen A. Smith is going to have yet more Michael Jordan coverage on ABC at 8 p.m. with Magic Johnson. But what did you see or not see of the Inside Stuff reunion, Roy?
I wasn't able to see the inside stuff for Union, but I wanted to. I wanted to catch up with the guys. I wanted to catch up with Willow Bay and Summer Sanders and all the guys I grew up watching on NBC. That looked like it was going to be fun, but I wasn't able to watch it, unfortunately.
Okay, so you wanted to watch it, but you didn't watch it, so you were very excited about it, but not excited enough to actually hunt it down. So clearly not that excited at all, really, because you didn't DVR it either. So you've just missed it, right? You were very excited about it, but you didn't quite get to it.
Well, it was on Facebook Live, so I couldn't DVR that, unfortunately, and I was busy.
That's the only place that it was? What are you shaking your head about, Mike?
I mean, we're not going to address how good he sounds. Come on! Yeah, 2 months and we fixed this!
Yes, we fixed the sound. We heard Roy clearly. It was an achievement of the highest order. Congratulations. The highlights of this segment was Stugatz not doing what he was told and Roy being very excited about something he didn't bother to watch.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. We love sports. Sports inspire us. They give us hope in ourselves, in the world, and of course, in amazing comebacks. Our love for sports grows each day. Dear Sports is our love letter to sports. Share your Dear Sports letter with us. Call 860-506-6161 or share a video or text using the hashtag DearSports on Twitter or Instagram. Here's your SportsCenter update. Major League Baseball's memo on its return to play plan includes, among other things, the prohibiting of high fives, fist bumps, hugs, spitting, tobacco use, and chewing sunflower seeds. The NFL is considering improving draft pick selections in the third round for teams that hire minority candidates as head coaches or GMs. Teams also could receive compensatory picks if minority candidates remain as a head coach or GM in their third year, or if a team loses a minority candidate who becomes a head coach or GM with another team. What happened?
Compensatory what?
I said ticks. It was picks. So. Okay. Happens.
Just move on.
Sorry. And finally, South Korean soccer club FC Seoul have apologized after accidentally using sex dolls as an alternative to real fans.
It's such a good story. I've actually seen some of these games from Korea, and they've got those fake fans behind home plate, but I did not know that a South Korean soccer club was using sex dolls. I did not know that.
Well, they've apologized. If you are like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably don't know. Your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
There are a lot of podcasts out there. Not many of them are different. This is a different one. The Right Time with Bomani Jones. He joins us now on ESPN Radio. So what was your reaction, Bomani? Thank you for making the time for us when you heard the NFL considering, voting on higher draft picks for teams that hire black executives or black coaches.
What a staggering indictment of the NFL. They are telling themselves we have to be bribed. That is the only way that we could do this. We have to be bribed. Can you imagine somebody coming out and just saying, like, yo, you guys seem to have a hiring, problem with diversity. Yeah, you're right. And we really can't do anything about it ourselves. So how do we bribe ourselves in order to make this happen? Like, that was the immediate thought that I had.
So what do you say to the person like me who says, yes, this is an awful idea, but at least they're aware of the problem now, and at least they're looking at ways to try after the rule named for one of the great families in football, the Rooneys, has failed to produce the desired results? It's not a good idea, but it's trying.
Well, first of all, let's call that rule what it is. It isn't the Rooney rule. It's the Cochran rule. You got this rule because Johnny Cochran was threatening to sue the NFL behind their poor coach hiring in the early part of this millennium. And then the rule came up. This did not come up because I think it's Dan Rooney. It didn't come up because Dan Rooney was like, guys, we have this giant problem, and I'm going to be the man to fix it. It came up because they were trying to stay out of court, because the last thing you wanted to do was go to court with Johnny Cochran. That don't sound like a win. We saw him win the most impossible case. That's how we wound up getting here. So if people say, well, at least they recognize that it's a problem, sort of. The key thing I think that everybody needs to understand in this is that the problem is the problem. The problem is not in the poor solutions. The problem is in the behaviors of the owners. And so every time something comes around on this, I feel like when we go through a hiring cycle and the hiring looks bad, we're like, oh man, the Rooney Rule is a joke. No, the owners are a joke. And when everybody talks about this, how often do you see them directly bring it to the owners unless they want to say something like, well, at least they recognize there's a problem. Of course they recognize there's a problem. They are the problem.
Do you have anything that you've heard that represents to you something that seems like a solution?
I don't know. Like, as a solution, I'm not sure. Because I'm less concerned at this point with talking about the solution than let's actually talk about what the problem is. And that's the part that nobody wants to do. Everybody wants to talk about this in a way that doesn't involve directly hurting any particular white person's feelings, right? Because if you want to know the problem with the solution they try to come up with, it's not going to work. You think that a team is going to be like, yo, we were going to hire that white dude, except now we'll jump up 10 spots in the draft. American history is littered with white people being willing to interfere with their own bottom line in the name of not doing right by black people, right? So that these little things they talk about, they'll find a way around that one. They put in the Rooney Rule. They found a way around that one. The problem is the behaviors of the people who happen to be on top. There's no quick fix, I think, to change that part.
Well, Monty, does this somehow, I know it sounds strange because I guess they're trying, but does this feel worse because what they're telling you is a minority is worth 10 spots in the third round?
It don't feel bad to me. Nothing that is going on in this process got a damn thing to do with me, got a damn thing to do with black people. The problem that they got with hiring doesn't have a single thing to do with anything about the inadequacies of black people. The current situation, if you wanted to point to anybody's widespread inadequacy, it would have to be the inadequacy of the white power structure to do something that will help them. Like, what I think gets lost in this also is the fact that if you improve your hiring, the biggest winners of this will be the owners. The biggest winners will be the team. The people who are hiring better people, the people that are increasing the pool of potential labor, that only stands to benefit the team. Like, you realize that people are basically having to come out every day and fight to look at the owners and be like, hey, why don't you do this thing that can help you out? Right? Like, that is what is here. People look at it in the context of, man, you ain't doing nothing for black people. They ain't doing nothing for themselves. And what does it mean if these teams are willing to not do right by themselves in the course of this hiring just because they want to keep hiring their buddies or whatever white dude they can find?
You have, I'm wondering when I watch this play out, Bomani, because I'm a bit stunned that this idea has seen light. Like, how does that meeting take place? Who's having the conversations where they think it's a good idea to make it this brazen where, hey, we'll give you the bribe. We'll give you the bribe if you hire somebody black.
Yeah, I do find it interesting that we don't know who came up with this, which leads me to believe that whoever leaked it is somebody who kind of wants this to fail, right? I mean, that's my thought. And it's a ridiculous idea. It should fail. But I want to know, when they put this out here, what were they going for? Who did they want to know? Like, what signal was it they were trying to give? Are they really so tone deaf that they were just throwing out a trial balloon to see maybe how this will work? Because who this one as an idea really ain't going to work for is the average white person that hates the idea of anybody doing anything for black people. Right. Like, as much as people are like, yo, if I was black, I would be insulted. Then you got the other people that are like, oh, so you just going to make it easy to give them a job. And it's like, damn, you see how hard it is as it stands, you know, but at least the NFL on some level is saying we recognize our playing field is not level, but nobody is stepping up to say, and we are responsible for that. Right. Like, people just act like we just magically wound up in this place. And they're like, damn, I don't know what we're going to do about this. Like, it's hot in here. We need to put in an air conditioner. You're the one that's making it hot. Nobody wants to point at the owners and say, you are the problem.
As someone who collects sneakers, like sneakers, do you understand a pair of game-used, signed Air Jordan 1s going for $560,000 in an auction this weekend, according to Darren Revelle?
I understand it if I understand how rich the person is who purchased them, right? Like, I feel like if you're at the point where you're paying 500 G's for a pair of shoes, this is just, you are just at the point in your life where you are just getting all the things that you actually want, right? Like, money is no object. You ain't check your checking account. You don't know what a gallon of milk costs. Hell, you don't even know what a Lexus costs, right? Like, that's the only way that you're going to get to a place to me where you're like, yeah, I put $560,000 on some shoes I can't wear, right? Like, what about you just put them on the wall? That's it.
I am not one to talk because I drive a car emblazoned with my brother's art. But if you were worried about your privacy and bothered by the number of people on you, would you drive a Porsche with a license plate that read Air on it?
Yep. Have you noticed, though, that every single one of his license plates was a dead giveaway that it was Michael Jordan? Right? Like, he's got ones with his initials, ones with his numbers, ones with his wife's name, or his wife's initials. And his initial at every turn, like, that to me is just speaks to a completely different era that you're Michael Jordan and you would be out and have people know that you are Michael Jordan. The part that's really surprising, though, is that he even drives a car at all. Like, if I'm not mistaken, LeBron doesn't drive anywhere because of the liability issue, right? Like, it actually speaks to a much more innocent time where the biggest star in the world could just be pushing down the Dan Ryan and everybody knows that the car is his. He snapped out of that, though, I think, though, because he brought a he had a Ferrari in the tunnel at the Dean Dome once or something I went to. And the license plate was not the dead giveaway that they used to be.
Bomani, good talking to you. Thank you, sir, for making the time.
All right, man. Be good.
The Right Time with Bomani Jones is what you need to check out.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection for more than vehicles, with insurance expertise to keep your company moving forward. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Here's your SportsCenter update. DeAndre Baker and Quentin Dunbar surrendered to the police on armed robbery charges. Both men were released. The Giants have told Baker not to attend virtual meetings. Former A's manager Art Howe was released from a hospital in Houston on Sunday after spending time in intensive care last week with the coronavirus. And finally, a few months following the 1995 NBA Finals, Shaquille O'Neal and Hakeem Olajuwon were scheduled to play one-on-one for $1 million. The war on the floor was going to be televised on pay-per-view. I mean, Elijah Wants. Would have destroyed it. Destroyed it. These days, it's good to be prepared, and that includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary, and also curbside pickup on any order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
I asked the question again. It's on the poll at Lebatard Show. Have you ever had a bad feeling about that pizza? Because
Tim Grover, the trainer for Michael Jordan, what is now being called the food poisoning game as opposed to the flu game. It was chronicled last night. And Andrew Hawkins, Dugatz, did you see what it is that he had to say about this? Because there is no disputing that what Michael Jordan did in that game with food poisoning and how he just closed out the Utah Jazz in general. I agree with people when they say you will not find a 45 seconds in sports more impressive than those 45 seconds, the way that he ended the Utah Jazz. I love Bob Costas's description of Byron Russell and how, you know, a lot of people say that Michael Jordan pushed off on that, but Russell was already moving in that direction. And I love Bob Costas's description of it was essentially a maitre d' showing someone to their table. Like, yeah. And so here's what Andrew Hawkins said. Here's what he said happened when he was sick. He says, "My second year in the league, wild card playoffs versus the Texans. I got sick AF, 102 temperature. I had to switch my rooms so I wouldn't get AJ Green sick. All I was thinking, I'm going MJ flu game on him. I had two catches for 12 yards and a fumble. We lost."
It's right then he realized he's not Michael Jordan.
I want to ask you this question, and I want to ask the audience this question, and then I want to play some Pablo Torre sound from outside the line, Stugatz, because a lot of people, hello, Finney, a lot of people are saying that the ends justify the means in terms of how Michael Jordan behaved and bullied people. There are any number of people that would agree with Michael Jordan's fear before this aired, that people were going to think he's a bleep hole or he's a jerk, or that he absolutely thinks that his way of being was necessary in order to win that way. But Pablo Torre was on Outside the Lines. I'm sorry, I think it was the Sports Reporters where he did this. Let's play the sound of Pablo Torre explaining to people that, hey, you don't have to do it Michael Jordan's way.
It's so easy to mistake the abuse of greatness for greatness itself. In sports especially, ends pretty much always justify mean. When Michael Jordan literally punches down at Steve Kerr's face for no reason, that's leadership. And if he stuffs all sorts of Scott Burrells into lockers without any fear of retribution, well, that's a feature of Jordan's programming. And never a bug. But after the nostalgia of The Last Dance, I want to recall a jarring fact about hyper-competitive winners. Jordan is just one of them. There's also Tim Duncan, Tom Brady, Wayne Gretzky, Hall of Famers who prove that we don't have to torment our coworkers or classmates to be a champion. A legendary leader does not have to be a legendary jerk. Growing up, I shot balled up socks whenever Jordan took free throws. I worshiped him. I readily admit he is the greatest player of all time. But if you still aspire to be like Mike, let's admit another thing. We should aspire to be even more.
What have you ever won, nerd? Put it on the poll, Guillermo, Jesus. At Levitar Show. What have you ever won, nerd? Yes or no? Billy is right when he says that wrestling in general missed an enormous opportunity. And first of all, I want to go back to this, Stugatz, because when you see Dennis Rodman, unexcused absence. When you see Phil Jackson answering questions during the finals like, yeah, I don't know, he's not here. When you see him go and wrestle with Hulk Hogan as part of NWO, and there's no punishment, he plays in the next game and he is good in the next game. What did you think watching that footage?
First off, I had forgotten that little portion that he left during the NBA Finals for wrestling, while they're trying to get their second three-peat. So it made me smile to kind of relive that a little bit. I think at that point, Phil was just trying to get through. The Bulls were just trying to get through. They didn't care. As long as Dennis at that point, they knew they had a couple of games remaining. And as long as Dennis showed up to those games, they were happy with him just showing up. He did show up.
He got underneath Karl Malone's skin. He had a great game because Dennis is the kind of guy, the rare athlete, that could go to Vegas or participate in a wrestling event, have very little to no sleep, show up to the game, and have a huge impact on the game. And I think at that point, Phil didn't care anymore. He knew it was near the end, and he was just trying to get through. But, man, the reaction if that happened today. Wow.
Wow. Billy, what did you think of all of that as you're watching it play out? Because I legitimately didn't even remember that. You see that happen, and you think what, Billy?
First of all, they needed to lighten up on Dennis a little bit, all right? Like, he missed one practice. Scottie Pippen missed half the season because he decided to have surgery late because he was mad at the team. And then he was saying he wanted to be traded and was never going to play for the team again, all right? Dennis Rodman missed one practice, so pump the brakes on that. Second of all, WCW, what are you doing? They should have sent the NWO to every single finals game and had them courtside because you know that Dennis was in on the NWO at the time. And he'd be going up to them, and he'd be giving them the two sweet little hand things after big blocks. They could have had such a presence at the finals if they would have just shelled out a little bit of cash and put Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and Hulk Hogan in the front row. And they didn't do it, and I think they missed an enormous opportunity to do so.
Mike Ryan, help me out here, because you were very happy for the first hour and 8 minutes of this show because you ordered a splitter after 2 months, and we had the kind of sound quality that you wanted. And then I went to Billy. Billy, that microphone that you have there, is that just a regular microphone? Because it felt like you were speaking into a fan of some sort. Yeah. It didn't sound quite right. What is that giant? It's white.
It's a fan. It's a box fan.
Yeah. I'm not sure why it's a ceiling fan.
Yeah, Roy sounded good.
Yeah, you sound.
I mean, it's an upgrade over me throwing my headphones at the MacBook, but just barely. We can figure it out during the break. We don't need to stay here.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Billy. Yes, Stugatz.
You agree with Billy, though, right? Where Scotty's getting way too many compliments and not enough of the criticism. I mean, Scotty was the guy who got the surgery late. Scotty was the guy who signed that ridiculous contract, even when Jerry Reinsdorf was telling him, hey, don't sign that ridiculous contract. Scotty's the reason they didn't play for a seventh title because he wanted to get paid. Scotty didn't go win when Tony Kukoc was assigned with taking the last shot when Jordan was playing baseball. And how emasculating is that Kukoc hit the shot? I mean, Scotty was kind of selfish throughout this entire run here, yet Robin and other guys get the criticism and not Scottie Pippen.
Well, I would say to you that the reason that Michael Jordan calls Scottie Pippen the greatest teammate that he's ever had, as Stugatz calls him, selfish, is because Scottie Pippen is the rare top 50 player of all time who says on camera when it's deciding time and the choice is between him and Kukoc that he wants it to be him, but when it's the choice between him and Michael, his response is, get the hell out of the way. There are very few top 50 players who have played the game ever willing to say that at winning time, or nut crunching time, as Michael Jordan called it, he says to the camera, what was I thinking at the end of the Utah game? Get the hell out of the way. Top 50 players don't think like that, and top 50 players sure as hell don't say it on camera.
If you missed any of our interviews, please check them out on demand in the Dan Le Batard Show podcast, brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. When you earn unlimited double miles on every purchase, your next trip is closer than you think. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Dan, it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
All right, Stugatz, before we start a new tournament, we have to announce the winner of our Looks Like tournament. Voting concluded this weekend. It was really close. Man. It was 52% to 48%. Your second place finisher is Andy Reid, looks like the small town sheriff who falls asleep while watching The Prisoners, wakes up briefly to yell out who's there to no one in particular, and immediately falls back asleep while The Prisoners continue to carefully reach for the jail cell keys dangling from his belt. I think there are better NIT teams than that one. I do not believe that deserved to be a 3 seed. I do not believe that deserved to be in the final. It almost won the damn tournament, but instead, here is your winner of this year's Looks Like tournament.
Steven Adams looks like Poseidon's less successful brother, Joe Sidon, god of canals and inland waterways.
Deserving, I mean.
Yes, it is. Gardner Minshew got hosed as well in the Final Four, but he's all over the NIT tournament. Let's start in the Northwest region, round one, because we're going to do this for a couple more months here. We are not done with this. This is the Northwest region, round one of an NIT tournament that would have been played 2 months ago. The number one seed in the Northwest region. I don't know who the voice is to this tournament. Do you, Stugatz? Do you know who the voice is?
I have no idea. No.
Yeah. Let's start here with the number one seed in the Northwest region, round one. Play it, Bristol.
Gardner Minshew looks like the local tennis pro who is actively dating three wealthy women over the age of 75.
You're right. That's an NCAA tournament team. You're right.
A tournament team. There's all sorts of tournament teams in the NIT. Let's check out who Gardner Minshew is playing. Who's the eighth seed in the NIT Northwest region?
Hunter Pence looks like the owner of an essential oils and crystals shop in Portland, Oregon.
The two seed in the Northwest region is always a strong conference. What do we have for Gettleman?
Dave Gettleman looks like he points to the GPS on your phone and says, "Turn that gizmo off. I know a shortcut," only to lead you in the wrong direction.
Yeah, she almost lost it laughing reading that, Mina Kimes. That is going up against seven seed. The seven seed, Doris Burke, is?
Doris Burke looks like the divorce court judge who peers at you over her glasses with disdain as your soon-to-be ex-wife describes what you do for a living.
That is great.
It is so good.
How's that a seventh seed in the NIT?
Well, you tell me how this is a three seed in the NIT. You tell me how this right here is a three seed.
Adam Silver looks like an Oscar statue before bronzing.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
How? That could be the overall one.
How
in the
is that?
NCAA.
That is better than Andy Reid. You can't tell me that that's not better than the Andy Reid one. I've got a problem with the committee. The sixth seed against Adam Silver is?
Buster Olney looks like the cowering hostage in a bank robbery who coyly points to the man squatting next to him when the gunman yells, "Who's the manager?"
So basically, and this is the part that's unfair, crazy. And it's why some ESPN people don't like us for doing this. That one was the sixth seed in the Northwest region, round one, is Buster Olney is a coward.
I wonder why they don't like it.
Yeah, the four seed in the Northwest region is represented by Bryce Harper and...
Bryce Harper looks like the nemesis in a Nerf gun commercial.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. The four seed Bryce Harper is facing the five seed again from the loaded Adam Silver conference.
Adam Silver looks like the upside down exclamation point at the beginning of an emphatic Spanish phrase.
Yep. Yep.
How is that not in the NCAA tournament? I'm just going to keep saying that, aren't I? Let's check out the Southwest region here because we're going to be doing this for the better part of a month. We're going to put up the Twitter polls at Lebatard Show so you guys can vote on these. The one seed in the Southwest region is?
Mike Budenholzer looks like he lost his job 3 months ago but keeps pretending to go to work every morning because he's too ashamed to face his family.
Perfect.
I feel like Mina. I thought that was Frank Vogel.
That's Budenholzer, man.
Is it? All right. Yeah. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Who looks more like they lost their job 3 months ago but keep pretending to go to work every morning because they're too ashamed to face their family? Frank Vogel or Mike Budenholzer? That's facing the eighth seed. The eighth seed is represented by?
Mark Davis looks like the old woman on an episode of Cops that ends up getting tased because she refuses to put out her cigarette.
She's got to get through these straight without laughing.
No. The two seed in the Southwest region is represented by?
Freddie Kitchens looks like a forklift driver at a Budweiser warehouse.
So very true.
Perfect.
Yes. Two-seeded Freddie Kitchens is playing against seven-seed Mac Brown, represented by?
Mac Brown looks like the head elder elf at Santa's workshop.
True. That is true. The three seed.
That might be the favorite to get through.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. This is Mina Kimes reading looks like about Mina Kimes. The three seed is represented by?
Mina Kimes looks like she exaggerates a loud cough as a smoker walks by her on the street.
Come on, Mina. She does look like she exaggerates a loud cough as a smoker walks by her on the street. Sixth seed, Mina Kimes is facing, represented by?
Ed Malloy looks like the youth minister who pauses mid-scripture to remind a mischievous Steph Curry that even though he may not be watching, Jesus always is.
The four seed, Les Miles, represented by?
Les Miles looks like someone who says, do me a flavor.
It's so true. It is so true. The four seed is playing against the five seed, Dabo Swinney. What's he look like?
Dabo Swinney looks like a friendly mouse who helps Cinderella make a dress before the dance.
Those are good, man. At Lebatard Show on Twitter is where you vote. Sarah Spain joins us next.
That is Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Sarah Spain expected to join us here in just a minute. Here's your SportsCenter update. DeAndre Baker and Quentin Dunbar surrendered to the police on armed robbery charges. Both men were released. The Giants have told Baker not to attend virtual meetings. Former A's manager Art Howe was released from a hospital in Houston on Sunday after spending time in intensive care last week with the coronavirus. And finally, local vets in Colombia are performing the first ever castration of hippos in the wild to keep the overly fertile descendants of the Pablo Escobar's escaped former pets from taking over the country's lakes and rivers.
What did you call it? The what?
What do you mean?
What did you call it? What is the word that you
castration?
Okay.
Is that what you think I said?
I don't. I thought you pronounced it castration. I'm not sure.
I mean, I may have. I'm certainly capable of that, but, and perhaps you're right. But I am telling you, given a second opportunity, which you gave me, castration is what I said.
Okay, very good.
I appreciate the second opportunity.
You're welcome.
Between us. SportsCenter is brought to you by Blue Emu. From one of America's most trusted brands comes a new maximum strength arthritis pain relief cream. Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Pain Relief Cream is non-greasy, deep penetrating, and it's odor-free. Don't let joint pain strike you out. Reach for Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Cream. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day. Totally said castration.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Are you stunned that Fred Willard was 86 years old? Best in Show, a really funny movie. We're not even making comedies like that. When's the last spoof that you saw? We're not making movies that way. And the eulogy on Fred Willard from fellow comedians is what you would want, which is funny and sweet. Funny and sweet. Again and again, you just heard, what a sweet, sweet man, and also obviously uproariously funny. Sarah Spain with us now on ESPN Radio. Check out the That's What She Said podcast anywhere you find your podcast. She is the height of Michael Jordan fangirl. We'll get to that in a second. But the first thing I wanted to ask you about was Alex Rodriguez's comments this weekend where he was pro-owner, where he was pro take whatever it is you're being given players. Your reaction, thank you for joining us, Sarah. Your reaction was what when you heard Alex Rodriguez say that?
It just seemed really simplistic. Did you guys read that story from Jeff Passan about all the details of what would need to happen in order for there to be a return? I mean, it's incredibly complicated. And, you know, I said this on my show, the same people who are frustrated with baseball players right now for what they think is nitpicking about money are the same people that say that when we're not in a global pandemic. So you either listen to those people all the time or you listen to them never. And to me, if you're ignoring the very serious health risks that the players have to play through, like some that people don't even really know about, like how it affects male fertility, or let's say you have lung problems that then last for the rest of your life and that's the end of your career, you never play again. For people to make it about money in the way that they are, to me, is just really simplistic. And I think of all people, for A-Rod to be kind of turning his back on the risks that the players have and the money that they're giving up and all that, it felt like a bad move, and it felt like something that just a lot of people who want baseball back because they want it selfishly for their own reasons and not because they're actually understanding the plight of anybody who would have to go out on the field and worry about themselves and their family.
From that passing story, the 67-page health and safety protocol, among the details, the players won't be able to take Ubers. They can't stand shoulder to shoulder for the national anthem. They're going to be discouraged from taking post-game showers. Were there any one of the details that caught your eye, Sarah, or just the all of it? Because this is really complicated.
It was about patterns, right? As an athlete, you just get so used to, and part of the goal of the thousands of hours of practice is so that things don't require thought anymore. They're muscle memory. And so the one I think that stood out the most to me, although there were many, was the idea of like pitchers can't put their hand to their mouth. They'll have a specialty rosin bag for that. They'll be or spinning or high fiving or anything. Like the idea of having to retrain yourself that many years into an activity to not do any of those things. I still watch TV and like people are gathering. I watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood the other day at the beginning, Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio stand right next to the valets. And I'm like, ooh, don't, I'm like, what am I doing? This movie's like several years old and it's a movie. So the fact that I'm still not able to adjust now, what, I don't even know, 60 days into quarantine. I just don't know how we expect baseball players to do that years into their career immediately.
Guillermo,
and then how you punish it.
Put it on the pole, Guillermo.
Don't do it. It's crazy.
At Le Batard Show, are you watching movies and telling people to socially distance as you watch them get too close together in the movies? Go ahead, Stugat.
Sarah Spain with us here on ESPN Radio. Sarah, I'm wondering how much pride did your city feel, the city of Chicago, feel the last 5 weekends? Because what we all celebrated, what we just finished celebrating, was theirs.
Yeah, I mean, if I could go into my city and talk to anyone other than my husband and my dogs, I'm sure I would know. But based on social media, it's been so awesome because not only is it nostalgia of a time period of the 90s, but actual nostalgia of personal memories and all the people that are Chicagoans that are on my social media and that I'm friends with posting their photo of when they went to Jordan's camp. And, you know, the little 7-year-old them and their little workout outfit or, you know, posting up the one time that they saw Michael at some restaurant in Chicago and what it meant to them. It's massive. And I've been trying to ask the guests that we have on, you know, in Portland, you know, what's it like? We had TJ McCollum on our pre-show yesterday. You know, what's it like? Are people there talking about what could have been if the Blazers had taken Jordan, or asking people in New York, are you watching this or did you live it once and you're good on not watching the Knicks keep getting eliminated? So it's been, I mean, almost uniformly incredibly over the top positivity in Chicago.
Who do you blame the most for it breaking up?
It's tough because ultimately it's Reinsdorf's money and that sort of half-ass like, well, if you want to come back still, you've earned it. After it's already been established for an entire season that it's over. And after Jerry Krause has told Phil you could go 82-0 and you're not coming back. And after the contracts have been decided based on this idea that it's all over. To me, that felt like empty. And he was saying it to be able to have said that he said it. But Reinsdorf ultimately said in that same breath, it would have been career suicide to offer up contracts to all these washed up dudes. Meanwhile, the washed up dudes just won a third straight title. We're in a weird spot in Chicago right now because we are blaming the Blackhawks ownership for keeping on a core that won three titles too long and not rebuilding fast enough because now they're kind of washed up. But at the same time, we're simultaneously watching this documentary about decades earlier and we're blaming those people for getting out too early. So, I mean, that's the ultimate question in sports, right? Is how long do you try to keep, you know, milking that cow? And I think in the case of this, what MJ said was spot on. Just give as many guys as who will take them a year deal. You don't have to extend them for a max, especially knowing what they knew about how it had all but been promised that they were done. I think most of them would have said, okay, one more year, like let's come back knowing that there's no chance you're going to give us a long-term deal. I think it's equally split between Krause, who was always on to the next, And despite being a genius, his ego often got in the way. I mean, they were on title one or two, and he was in the locker room already saying, organizations are what win this. I'm so proud of the guy who runs the clubhouse, instead of any of the players that had just worked on the court. But Reinsdorf ultimately was in control of Kraft. He was the owner. And his loyalty to front office people has plagued the franchise for decades since the whole thing went down with Michael.
Sarah, one of them would have said no, Scottie Pippen. There's no way, not yeah, for a probably. Year. He was going to get paid. And so I'm wondering between that, the fact that he signed a terrible contract at the time, between that, not going in when Phil put him in to make the pass to Kukoc, Kukoc ultimately hit that shot, Scottie probably being the reason because he was going to get paid after that sixth championship, and deservedly so. I'm wondering if he's viewed as selfish in the city of Chicago at all, at any level.
I think the overarching idea of his career is so positive, and as this sort of Robin to Jordan's Batman, that they didn't win any titles without him, and what a great teammate he was. If you talk to anybody that played with Scottie Pippen, the first thing they'll say is how much they love him as a teammate and a friend. So I think that is the bigger message than the little. Of course, people had a real problem with the 1.8 seconds. Now people who maybe didn't realize at the time have a problem with, I'm not going to F up my summer. I'm going to get surgery in the middle of our last run. I think there's moments, and it doesn't make it any easier to swallow when he does this documentary and basically says, I would do it again, about all those things. I don't know if that's ego or pride or stubbornness, but I think what... Luckily for him and for, I guess, everybody who wants to be a fan of his, all the other stuff is so overwhelmingly positive that you allow for those hiccups and understanding that, like, not everyone's going to have a career without any imperfections. So I don't think there's any real ill will in Chicago towards Scottie Pippen unless you drill down into those little incidents, and then people will say they think he was in the wrong.
We have less than a minute left here, not enough time, obviously, and you may be too young, but Phyllis George is a pioneer. She passed away this weekend. She was on, the NFL's major shows. She was one of the few women you would see on sports television. What can you tell us about her pioneering impact?
I am a little too young, but what's interesting, and I don't mean this flippantly because somebody should, genuinely eulogize her, but... the number of men in their 60s who will draw up some sort of, PowerPoint to try to lure me to their company or their job, and they will use either Phyllis George or the fabulous sports babe. And that kind of tells you how stuck in the past a lot of guys are that were around for that initial kind of welcoming of women into the industry, is that they still think that that's the message that they're going to send to me that will make me feel like that I would be a priority and a valuable member of whatever they're doing. So that's what I would say about that, is that as far as we've come, I suppose there are still some stuck in the idea that Phyllis George and the fabulous sports babe are the examples to go from.
Way to make it about yourself, Sarah. That's What She Said is a podcast that's about herself.
I said I was too young.
Thank you
I'm
for being on
I'm
with
so
us,
young.
Sarah. More sports next.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Bob Ryan going to join us in just a second. Here's your SportsCenter update. Bills defensive lineman Ed Oliver was arrested Saturday night in his hometown of Houston on charges of driving while intoxicated and unlawfully carrying a weapon. The Scottish Professional Football League has called off their season and have declared Celtic League champion. It's Celtic's ninth consecutive title. And finally, breakups tend to be harder on men than women. A study from 96 countries found that while women experience more pain immediately after a breakup, they move on more quickly. Men tend to feel less pain right after a breakup, but the damage takes longer to repair. Makes sense.
America's number one shaving cream? That's Barbasol Shaving Cream. Choose Barbasol Thick and Rich Shaving Cream, the American original for over 100 years. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Are you surprised how much like Pitbull Jeff Bezos is starting to look? You mentioned Ed Oliver, Stugatz. Football players continue somehow to end up in the news when you don't want them to end up in the news for the wrong reasons. You cannot give us content during the pandemic and make your organization embarrassed. Ed Oliver is a very good football player. He's one of the reasons that the Bills were so good at defense last year. And I got to think, Stugatz, I have to think that some of these guys are being a little more lawless because they don't expect the police to pull them over. They don't expect during a pandemic to be pulled over. So you got an unlicensed gun and a beer in your car. But my guess is that the police don't want to be pulling you over. The police don't want to be looking right now for people who are driving around that they have to have contact with.
Perhaps, and I was reading this over the weekend, some structure has been taken out of their lives as well, where normally they have football to show up to and mini camps to show up to, and so maybe it's a combination of all those things.
You were reading something this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I hope I read it correctly, but I'm pretty certain that's what it was saying.
Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe with us now on ESPN Radio. We will read some tweets of his to you and to him at the end of this segment. Bob, thank you as always for making the time. Hope you and yours are safe and well. The Michael Jordan documentary, the nostalgia of it. You know basketball, Bob, and you've read those books, the many books that have been written about Michael Jordan. I don't imagine there were too many surprises in that for you.
There were some, just a few specifics along the way, of course, but the generality, that's, of course, was just simply to reaffirm what I believed or what I knew to be true or what I thought to be true, who he was, how he got it done. So for me, it was a fun look back. It wasn't necessarily educational, but then again, that's the idea, that for my set, it was going to be that way. It's the younger generation that needed to be, quote-unquote, educated as to who Michael Jordan was.
At the time, Bob, who did you think was most to blame, and has that changed at all for that team being broken up?
I wish that Jerry Krause would be here so we could sit down and talk with them and say, Jerry, just go over A, B, C, D, what your thinking was. Clearly, Jerry Krause, the most inflammatory and unforgettable line of the entire 10 episodes was, I don't care if you go 82-0, et cetera, or whatever words to that effect. That's kind of sobering and chilling. I can't imagine how Phil, you know, reacted when he first heard that. But my thinking is this, no matter what Jerry Krause wanted, Jerry Reinsdorf had to sign off on. And so I've always felt that in the end, the buck stopped there, not with Jerry Krause, because Jerry Reinsdorf was going to be the one who was going to have to sanction the breaking up of the team. But the two Jerrys, as they were referring to them in those days, were lumped together at the time, and I guess rightly so. But in the end, think about it, the owner has to sign off on it.
Bob, I feel like there are two people that are conveniently being left out of this discussion. Phil Jackson made it pretty clear he didn't want to coach in Chicago anymore. He needed a break. Like, this was exhausting. And if Phil's not coming back, Michael's not coming back. And the other guy is Scottie Pippen, who signed a terrible contract, and he was going to get paid no matter where he played after they won that sixth title.
You're right. In part B, there's no dispute, none. And, you know, he signed a contract for a reason. He was paranoid about, or he was completely obsessed with security in his mind, the family situation that he had, which I did not know about. That's one thing I was educated to. The two wheelchair-bound members of his family was something I did not know about. And he was trying to provide for a family, more power to him. And he signed a security contract, was not going to take a chance on betting on himself, et cetera. Okay. And the other part, I don't know if there's any, excuse me, revisionist history going on with Phil now, because, you know, we saw Phil's comment in his interview I'm sorry.
All right, okay, Bob? Hold on. Bob, just stop talking for a second. No, Bob, this is going to get worse, and powder and dust is going to start coming out of your mouth. Just stop for a second. I'm going to filibuster for you so you can gather yourself if you continue talking.
I'm getting a little water. I'm going to be fine. I promise you, don't abort this interview.
All right, I am not aborting the interview, but I am officially concerned about your well-being here, so I'm going to talk for a little while. We are going to listen to you drink water.
I'm fine. It's done.
All right. Continue,
Phil,
please.
Phil may be indulging. I don't know the truth. I don't think we'll ever know the truth. We heard Phil at the end of the whole thing say, I needed a break, time to go, time to move on. You seem really philosophical about it. Maybe that's the case. All I know is this. If they did stay together, looking at how that next season transpired, the abortive season, the 50 games, a team like the Knicks, the 8th seed, making it to the finals, you got to think they would have had a hell of a chance to win, and he damn well knows that now. So I don't know if we can take Phil at face value right now. But I agree with you, Stugatz, about Scottie Pippen.
Bob Ryan, in your journalism lifetime, I am asking you, and this is a lot of years, many decades of expertise we're talking about here, to give me a comparable to Dennis Rodman being allowed, or not allowed, just going during the finals, unexcused absence, to go wrestle. Unbelievable.
Nothing before or since. There was an eccentric pitcher in the turn of the 20th century named Rube Waddell, who did some crazy things. You could go look him up, a great left-hand pitcher, but a classic eccentric. I mean, absolutely a nutcase that if he came along today in a comparable way would be, totally captivating for us. You would be talking about him every day. But no. And I had forgotten about the episode with Hulk Hogan in the middle of that after game two. Oh, no, there's nothing. And do you imagine today with social media? I mean, that's the thing. That so many things would happen in years gone by that were that would be so much larger in life with social media than they were. I can't even begin to think about what it would have been like if anything like that happened today. Or couldn't. But no, I didn't know anything about that.
Because Sarah Spain did such a poor job of eulogizing Phyllis George, I go to you, Bob Ryan, as someone who remembers that era in broadcast television, the NFL. Phyllis George passed away this weekend as, a pioneering woman who was one of the first who had to endure everything that came from the male audience. What do you remember about her and her legacy?
It was highly controversial, and she was completely attacked by a large segment of the male audience as being out of her depth and inappropriately used. And frankly, it was true. She was a gorgeous woman, a Miss America. She had enough cursory sports knowledge to get her way through it. She had good air presence and all that. But, who's kidding who? If she were a homely woman who had never been Miss America, I don't think she would have been the one chosen to be a part of that group at all. But she, everything I've read about her, and I didn't know her, but I know those who did know her, women, females of my acquaintance in the business, they liked her, they respected her, they were fond of her, she was good to them. Wonderful tribute from Leslie Visser via Christine Brennan in today's USA Today. Anyone's interested, I recommend they read it. And you'll come away admiring Phyllis George. What I do remember, though, my only connection with her was John Y. Brown, because he owned the Celtics, and when they got married during his tenure as owner of the Celtics, and that marriage took place right in the middle of a season, and several people involved in the traveling party were invited and to the wedding, and I just remember coming back and talking about the whole splendor of the whole thing.
Bob Ryan with us here on ESPN Radio. My favorite follow on Twitter, @GlobeBobRyan on Twitter. We have him explain his tweets when he comes on with us. So, Bob, I've got three or four quick ones for you. I've managed to get this far without knowing who Nick Wright is, but someone should tell him Isaiah was one-third of the greatest three-man backcourt in NBA history. And has he ever heard of Adrian Dantley or Mark Aguirre?
He was trying to say that Isaiah had no good teammates, that Isaiah lugged those Pistons teams to those titles by himself with mediocre talent surrounding him. That was the implication, and I had to set him straight. And then he put me on his radio show telling me that, in fact, he had interviewed me in times past, and I did have acquaintance with him. And then we hit it off nicely, and we were very civilized, and you know, it's done.
All right. That's very nice to hear, Bob. Andrew Toney is the most forgotten great player in NBA history. Thank you for saying it, Bob.
Yes, thank you for saying it, Bob.
Oh, that is one of the, you know, great no-brainers that I could spit back at you about in terms of sports opinion and knowledge. Andrew Toney, had he not gotten hurt, would have been an easy Hall of Famer. It was an unstoppable force and the most contemptuous offensive guard of his day. I mean, he just spit in your eye, said, "Yeah, double team me. I don't give a damn." He could step back, take a three. He could go to the basket, right or left. Don't foul him because he shot 90%. And he absolutely was he played with contempt of his opponent. And then he had a very brief career, but now he's forgotten, and that's too bad.
At Globe Bob Ryan on Twitter, the ESPN Top 74 NBA is surprisingly okay. They have the right top nine, but not necessarily in the right order. There will always be debate with any such list. Number one goof is number 33, John Havlicek, who should be no lower than 12. But few other outrages, only legit arguments.
Yeah, I was prepared to, you know, go to the mattress and scream and yell and holler about the stupidity of the people to put the list together. And then it floored me with how basically fair and accurate and respectful of history it is. And they did get the right nine guys, 1 to 9. 10, Shaq doesn't belong. But, you know, I know people don't understand that, but that's all right. And I'd rearrange them. And obviously, Russell and Jordan should be 1 or 1-2 in some order. And I was 1N, 1A, frankly, for their accomplishments. And then after that, we can argue a lot throughout. But they got the right nine, and the right 20 are pretty good, by the way. But Havlicek, what people just can't get in their head is that he was every bit as good as Oscar Robertson and Jerry West in his time, and that he was better than both of them the last 5 years or so of his career, and that he was famous, he was damned with faint praise for his six-man fame when, starting with the second year in the league, he was second in the team in minutes played because Auerbach just wanted to use him that way. So John Havlicek is falling through the cracks of history unfairly. Absolutely. That's my take. That's my story, and damn it, I'm sticking to it.
Yeah!
Mike Ryan, I think you'll enjoy this. The aforementioned Rube Waddell. Waddell, excuse me. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1943. He made his major league debut in 1897.
Yeah, so what's your point?
What is your point, huh?
I'll tell you, here's a tidbit on Rube Waddell. You ready for this?
Of course.
Those are the days when, of course, they not only had roommates, but they had to sleep in the same large bed, okay? And his catcher, Ossie Schreckengoss, Ossie Schreck, had a clause in his contract that said that Rube Waddell, his roommate, could not eat animal crackers in bed.
Whoa! That is great. Thank
you,
Bob.
I love you.
Yes, you're the best. Thank you for being on with us, Bob.
Anytime.
More sports next.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Here's your SportsCenter update. Bills defensive lineman Ed Oliver was arrested Saturday night in his hometown of Houston on charges of driving while intoxicated and unlawfully carrying a weapon. The Scottish Professional Football League has called off their season and have declared Celtic League champion. It's Celtic's 9th consecutive title. The C's. And finally, cigarette butts are the most littered, environmentally toxic item in the world.
SportsCenter is brought to you by Blue Emu. From one of America's most trusted brands comes a new maximum strength arthritis pain relief cream. Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Pain Relief Cream is non-greasy, deep penetrating, and it's odor-free. Don't let joint pain strike you out. Reach for Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Cream. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Jackie McMullen is reporting that Scottie Pippen is, quote, wounded and disappointed by his portrayal in The Last Dance. Wounded and disappointed. What are you making faces about?
I mean, listen, it's like 20 years removed. He's regarded as one of the 50 greatest players of all time. He was a bit selfish along that run. It's okay. I think we've all forgiven and forgotten, and everyone's moved on, and he made his money, made north of $100 million. Get over it.
Okay, very good. Time now for Stugatz's weekend observations.
It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend observations brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. Get a free battery test and free installation with any automotive battery purchase only at Advance Auto Parts. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts. Dim, little soccer, little golf, little UFC, some NASCAR. For a moment, Dan, it felt like sports were back. Then I realized we're supposed to be watching the NBA playoffs, and it dawned on me that they are not. The Warriors said they feel the pain of The Last Dance. Warriors, do me a favor. Take their names out of your mouths right now. Do it now. Thank you. What happened there? Seriously, what are the Warriors are comparing themselves to the Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and the Bulls who won 6 titles in 8 years and would have won 8-8 had he not taken over baseball? What are you doing? You don't feel any of their pain. I got the rant. Need a sip of water. I'm sorry now.
Because you were screaming. That's why. You're red-faced. You've been red-faced since you told Scottie Pippen to get over it.
Yeah. Let me get this straight. Hiring a minority is worth 10 spots in the third round? Jesus. Anyone else wondering what percentage of the NFL is going to get arrested if the league doesn't come back soon? Anyone? Where the blazes was Juanita?
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Have you ever used the phrase, where the blazes?
What's the age of someone that uses where in the blazes? I mean, you led me right into that observation. Well done by you. Dan, Monday topic. NFL players getting arrested because we're not playing football. Collision course. Listen, I say this with all due respect to the drivers. But even during unprecedented times, with precious little live sports to watch, I ain't watching cars go in circles. Bryce Harper laid out his idea for the next 3 baseball seasons. Must have taken up a lot of his time. Bryce, do me a favor. You're getting paid $500 million. Lay out your ideas for how you're not going to strike out 180 times like you did last season. Thanks. Erling Haaland to score -125. Gift. At first glance, I thought Paul George died at the age of 70.
It's Haaland.
Whatever. Yeah. Tomato, tomato.
Not exactly.
It was a gift.
That it was.
From the soccer gods. Mike, you're my soccer god. Anyway, first glance, I thought, what?
How does that guy keep scoring every time that he plays?
He's got, I have no
he's
idea.
Got 10 goals in 2020 on 21 shots.
It's amazing. I mean, geez, it's like 80%. At first glance, I thought Paul George died at the age of 70.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you already made that bad joke once.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know if you
sure heard him.
Alistair Overeem. Menace in class. All wrapped into one. Monday Night Football should hire Daniel Cormier.
He's good, man. He's really good.
Jim Kelly said with Brady out of the division, if the Bills don't win the AFC East, something is wrong. Jim, A, it's football. B, at least you didn't put any additional unnecessary pressure on your former team. Professional golfers, when clean shaven and wearing pants, look like professional golfers. Professional golfers, unshaving, wearing shorts, look like me and Fat Chris. Wait, is there a chance the highest paid player in Major League Baseball this season will be Bobby Bonilla? Bobby Bo. Well,
that's funny.
Major League Baseball wants severe penalties for fights in 2020. Manfred, here's an idea. Ban fights. You're welcome. CBSSports.com, Sunday afternoon, second headline. Eagles won't pursue Clowney unless... dot, dot, dot. Hashtag COVID-19. So does the NBA fine Knicks our poopy poop butt butts butts cup for tampering?
Soup. Jeez. What are you? Butt soup.
Butt soup. Yeah, I should have read that first.
You want to try it again?
It's your observation.
No.
They're your observations.
Poopy cup. But never mind. Soup for tampering.
Just keep it, just keep it moving.
Poopy poop up. But
this
soup.
This is the best way I have ever been angry at you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Poopy poop but soup, Stugatz. Poopy poop but soup. I don't know why you're putting a cup in there. Is it your dyslexia? Easy. Poopy poop but soup.
Easy for you to say. Is it just me, or are the weekends getting shorter and shorter? Also, anyone else notice the woodpeckers are coming? Huh? Anyone? I got two living in my house. I ain't joking. They live in poles in my house. I'm serious. Sunday afternoon headline, profootballtalk.com. Lions agree to terms with fourth rounder Logan Stenberg. A, who is Logan Stenberg? B, hashtag COVID-19. Right below that, Anthony Hitchens. If we get run defense settled, we should be a top five defense. Who is Anthony Hitchens? Does he play or coach defense? What team is he talking about? Also, hashtag COVID-19. Sunday afternoon nap to the sounds of golf on my television. I missed you so much. Warriors GM Bob Myers. When you already have an all-time great team and add an all-time great player, it feels cheapened. I think what Kevin Durant doesn't realize is that it seems like he's a misery to be around. Phyllis George, a pioneer, and someone for young girls to look up to. Thank you. Enjoy heaven. 50-50 on whether or not you'll see Brent up there one day. But I guarantee you, God. Don't worry about having to see our Bryles because he's permanently in hell. Dan, those are the weekend observations.
A couple of cleanup items here. If you were wondering why I was shouting poopy poop butt butt soup at Stugatz, it's because Spencer Dinwiddie tried to raise $24 million this year in an auction and raised less than $1,000. The second biggest donor, $69, was poopy poop butt butt soup. Also, I love the idea of Josh Allen dropping back to pass in the fourth quarter and feeling pressure from what Jim Kelly said. We update the polls next.